Today's reading will begin with the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 37 through 50. The next day, after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to him, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you?" Then he said to the man, "Bring your son here." As the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. Awe gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. While everyone was marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Listen to me and remember what I say. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies." But they didn't know what he meant. Its significance was hidden from them, so they couldn't understand it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Then his disciples began arguing about which of them was the greatest. But Jesus knew their thoughts, so he brought a little child to his side. Then he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who sent me. Whoever is the least among you is the greatest." John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." But Jesus said, "Don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you." Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. "You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you." Our third reading today is Psalm 136. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. The sun to rule the day. His faithful love endures forever. and the moon and stars to rule the night. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. His faithful love endures forever. He brought Israel out of Egypt. His faithful love endures forever. He acted with a strong hand and powerful arm. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. He led Israel safely through. His faithful love endures forever. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who struck down mighty kings. His faithful love endures forever. He killed powerful kings. His faithful love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his faithful love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his faithful love endures forever. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance. His faithful love endures forever. A special possession to his servant Israel. His faithful love endures forever. He remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Our final reading today is from 1 Chronicles, chapters 26, 27, and 28. 1 Chronicles, chapter 26. These are the divisions of the gatekeepers. From the Korahites, there was Meshelemiah, Maiah, son of Kore, of the family of Abiathashaph. The sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah, the oldest, Jediel the second, Zebediah the third, Jathniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, and Eliehoenai the seventh. The sons of Obed-Edom, also gatekeepers, were Shemaiah the oldest, Jehozabad the second, Johah the third, Sakar the fourth, Nathanael the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Ezekar the seventh, and Penalithiah the eighth. God had richly blessed Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom's son Shemaiah had sons with great ability who earned positions of great authority in the clan. Their names were Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad. Their relatives, Elihu and Shemaiah, were also very capable men. All of these descendants of Obed-Edom included their sons and grandsons. 62 of them in all were very capable men, well qualified for their work. Meshelemiah's 18 sons and relatives were also very capable men. Hosah of the Merari clan appointed Shimri as the leader among his sons, though he was not the oldest. His other sons included Hilkiah the second, Tiblaiah the third, Zechariah the fourth. Hosea's sons and relatives who served as gatekeepers numbered 13 in all. These divisions of the gatekeepers were named for their family leaders, and like the other Levites, they served at the house of the Lord. They were assigned by families for guard duty at the various gates, without regard to age or training, for it was all decided by means of sacred lots. The responsibility for the east gate went to Meshelemiah and his group. The north gate was assigned to his son Zechariah, a man of unusual wisdom. The south gate went to Obed-Edom, and his sons were put in charge of the storehouse. Shupim and Hosah were assigned the west gate and the gateway leading up to the temple. Guard duties were divided evenly. 6 Levites were assigned each day to the east gate, 4 to the north gate, 4 to the south gate, and 2 pairs at the storehouse. 6 were assigned each day to the west gate, 4 to the gateway leading up to the temple, and 2 to the courtyard. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers from the clans of Korah and Merari. Other Levites, led by Ahijah, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the gifts dedicated to the Lord. From the family of Limni in the clan of Gershon, Jehiel was the leader. The sons of Jehiel, Zetham and his brother Joel, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of the Lord. These are the leaders that descended from Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. From the clan of Amram, Shubiel was descendant of Gershom, son of Moses. He was the chief officer of the treasuries. His relatives through Eleazar were Rehabiah, Jeshaiah, Joram, Zikri, and Shelomoth. Shelomoth and his relatives were in charge of the treasuries containing the gifts that King David, the family leaders, and the generals and captains and other officials of the army had dedicated to the Lord. These men dedicated some of the plunder they had gained in battle to maintain the house of the Lord. Shelomoth and his relatives also cared for the gifts dedicated to the Lord by Samuel, the seer. Saul, son of Kish, Abner, son of Ner, and Joab, son of Zeruiah, of all the other dedicated gifts were in their care too. From the clan of Izhar came Kenaniah. He and his sons were given administrative responsibilities over Israel as officials and judges. From the clan of Hebron came Hashabiah and his relatives. 1,700 capable men were put in charge of the Israelite lands west of the Jordan River. They were responsible for all matters related to the things of the Lord and the service of the king in that area. Also from the clan of Hebron came Jeriah, who was the leader of the Hebronites, according to the genealogical records. In the 40th year of David's reign, a search was made in the records, and capable men from the clan of Hebron were found at Jazer in the land of Gilead. There were 2,700 capable men among the relatives of Jeriah. King David sent them to the east side of the Jordan River and put them in charge of the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were responsible for all matters related to God and to the king. This is the list of the Israelite generals and captains and their officers who served the king by supervising the army divisions that were on duty each month of the year. Each division served for 1 month and had 24,000 troops. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiel, was commander of the first division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the first month. He was a descendant of Perez and was in charge of all the army officers for the first month. Dodai, a descendant of Ahohah, was commander of the second division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the second month. Mikloth was his chief officer. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, the priest, was commander of the division of 24,000 troops, third month, which was on duty during the third month. This was the Benaiah who commanded David's elite military group known as the 30. His son, Amizabad, was his chief officer. Azahel, the brother of Joab, was commander of the fourth division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the fourth month. Asahel was succeeded by his son, Zebadiah. Shema, the Izrahite, was commander of the fifth division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the fifth month. Ira, son of Ikesh from Tekoa, was the commander of the sixth division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the sixth month. Helez, a descendant of Ephraim from Pelon was commander of the 7th Division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 7th month. Shabbekai, a descendant of Zerah from Husha, was commander of the 8th Division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 8th month. Ebiezer from Anatoth in the territory of Benjamin was commander of the 9th Division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 9th month. Maharai, a descendant of Zerah from Netophah, was commander of the 10th Division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 10th month. Benalah from Pirathon in Ephraim was commander of the 11th Division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 11th month. Heled, a descendant of Othniel from Netophah, was commander of the 12th Division of 24,000 troops, which was on duty during the 12th month. The following were the tribes of Israel and their leaders. The tribe of Reuben, the leader was Eleazar, son of Zikri. From the tribe of Simeon, Shephatiah, son of Machah, was the leader. From the tribe of Levi, Hashabiah, son of Kemuel, was the leader. Kemuel, Aaron, the priest, the leader was Zadok. From the tribe of Judah, the leader was Elihu, a brother of David. From the tribe of Issachar, Omri, son of Michael, was the leader. From the tribe of Zebulun, Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah, was the leader. From the tribe of Naphtali, Jeremoth, son of Azrael, was the leader. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Azaziah, was the leader. From the tribe of Manasseh in the west, Joel, son of Bedaiah, was the leader. From the tribe of Manasseh in Gilead in the east, the leader was Ido, son of Zechariah. From the tribe of Benjamin, Isiel, son of Abner, was the leader. From the tribe of Dan, Azarel, son of Jeroham, was the leader. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. When David took his census, he did not count those who were younger than 20 years of age, because the Lord had promised to make the Israelites as numerous as the stars in heaven. Joab, son of Zeruiah, began the census, but never finished it, because the anger of God fell on Israel. The total number was never recorded in King David's official records. Officials of King David's kingdom are Asmaveth, son of Adiel, was in charge of the palace treasuries. Jonathan, son of Uzziah, was in charge of the regional treasuries throughout the towns, villages, and fortresses of Israel. Ezri, son of Kelub, was in charge of the field workers who farmed the king's lands. Shimei from Ramah was in charge of the king's vineyards. Zabdi from Sephram was responsible for the grapes and the supplies of wine. Baal Hanan from Gedar was in charge of the king's olive groves and sycamore fig trees in the foothills of Judah. Joash was responsible for the supplies of olive oil. Shitrii from Sharon was in charge of the cattle on the Sharon plain. Zaphat, son of Adlai, was responsible for the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was in charge of the camels. Jedahiah from Meronoth was in charge of the donkeys. Jaziz, the Hagrite, was in charge of the king's flocks of sheep and goats. All these officials were overseers of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a wise counselor to the king, a man of great insight and a scribe. Jehiel, the Hachmonite, was responsible for teaching the king's son. Ahithophel was the royal advisor. Hushai, the Archite, was the king's friend. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and by Abiathar. Joab was the commander of the king's army. Chapter 28. David summoned all the officials of Israel to Jerusalem, the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions, the other generals and captains, the overseers of the royal property and livestock, the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the other brave warriors in the kingdom. David rose to his feet and said, "My brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, 'You must not build a temple to my honor, my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, has chosen me from among all my father's family to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen the tribe of Judah to rule, and from among the families of Judah he chose my father's family. And from among my father's sons the Lord was pleased to make me king over Israel. And from among my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne of Israel and to rule over the Lord's kingdom. He said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I have chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. And if he continues to obey my commandments and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever.' So now, with God as our witness, and in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give you this charge. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Then David gave Solomon the plans for the temple and its surroundings, including the entry room, the storerooms, the upstairs rooms, the inner rooms, and the inner sanctuary, which was the place of atonement. David also gave Solomon all the plans he had in mind for the courtyards of the Lord's temple, the outside rooms, the treasuries, and the rooms for the gifts dedicated to the Lord. The king also gave Solomon the instructions concerning the work of the various divisions of priests and Levites in the temple of the Lord. And he gave specifications for the items in the temple that were to be used for worship. David gave instructions regarding how much gold and silver should be used to make the items needed for service. He told Solomon the amount of gold needed for the gold lampstands and the lamps, and the amount of silver for the silver lampstands and lamps, depending on how each would be used. He designated the amount of gold for the table on which the bread of the presence would be placed, and the amount of silver for other tables. David also designated the amount of gold for the solid gold meat hooks used to handle the sacrificial meat, and for the basins, pitchers, and dishes, as well as the amount of silver for every dish. He designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim whose wings were stretched out over the ark of the Lord's covenant. Every part of this plan, David told to Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. Then David continued, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the officials and the entire nations are at your command.